Our scripture reading comes from Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 to 32, and you can find them in the booklet. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.' And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so. As the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also.'"
As we get seated, let me pray for us. Let's pray. Gracious God, good God, just God, loving God, would you be with us now? And be with the kids and the leaders in the other building. Be with us as one church. By your Spirit, make your word live to us. Reveal your name to us, we pray. For your glory and for your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Sam. I'm one of the team at Christ City, South Vancouver. And can I just say, part of me wishes we could just keep on singing. But I think it's just as important, isn't it, that we spend some time now remembering who we're singing about and what is it and who is it that brings us all together to sing with one voice. And that's what we're going to do right now. This Good Friday, we're going to be looking at the Passover in Exodus. And it's pretty special, isn't it, because all four of our churches, we've been on the same journey together. Every Sunday in each of our churches, we've been on the same journey in Exodus up to this point. Over the past few weeks, we've all been learning about the courage of the midwives, Shifra and Puah, and Moses' mother and sister and adoptive mother. We've learned about Moses' baby steps of obedience. We've puzzled about Moses' circumcision, haven't we? And we've puzzled about Pharaoh's hard heart. God tells Pharaoh to let his people go. But what does Pharaoh say? Pharaoh says no. And so just as Pharaoh and the Egyptians struck the Israelites over and over again, is now God's turn to strike. And that's what God does. God strikes Pharaoh and the Egyptians over and over again, striking them with plagues and signs just so that Pharaoh would let God's people go. But with each strike, Pharaoh's heart remains hard, rock hard. He does not let the people go. And so now as we come to the 10th sign of the Passover, God says in 12, verse 12, He is going to execute judgments by striking all of the firstborns in the land of Egypt. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. As we look at this 10th sign, the Passover, we have 2 points: the need for judgment and our need for the Lamb. The need for judgment and our need for the Lamb. So to our first point, the need for judgment. God makes clear that this 10th sign, this Passover, and in fact, all the signs, they're acts of judgment. We see that in 6 verse 6 and 7 verse 4 and 12 verse 12. And so before we go on, we need to acknowledge the elephant in the room. Many of us struggle with the idea of God's judgment, don't we? I remember in one of my previous jobs, when one of my co-workers found out that I was a Christian, he said with a bit of scorn and disdain in his voice, "You mean you believe in a God of judgment?" And that's how many of us think, don't we? We read about the great cry in Egypt that was just read, that Brian just read for us in the passage that happened after the judgment, and we struggle, don't we? We struggle with the idea of a God of judgment because we think judgment is in opposition with what is good and what is right. But here's the thing. God's acts of judgment are not in opposition to what is good and right. In fact, they are part of God doing what is good and right. God's acts of judgment are not in opposition to what is good and right. They are part of God doing what is good and right. We see that in our text. The acts of judgment were the only way for God to save His people from oppression and slavery, because that's what's been going on. Pharaoh has enslaved and oppressed the Israelites and has repeatedly refused to let God's people go. After the 9th sign, just before our passage, Pharaoh gives this chilling threat, 10 verse 28, which I'll read for us. "Then Pharaoh said to Moses, 'Get away from me. Take care never to see my face again, for on the day you see my face, you shall die.'" Pharaoh issues an ultimatum, and so it's come down to this. It's Pharaoh or the Israelites. Kill or be killed. Either Egypt's firstborns die or God's firstborn dies. And so God acts. God uses acts of judgment to save His people. If someone kidnaps my child and tortures my child and refuses to let my child go and then says, "I need to choose between him and my child," guess who I'm going to choose? I'm choosing to save my child. If something sinks their teeth into your child and refuses to let go, you'll be striking it over and over and over again till it lets go of your child. And that's just what's happening here. God's children were caught in the teeth of Pharaoh, and so God was striking Pharaoh over and over and over again till Pharaoh let God's children go. Christ City, see God's goodness. See God's goodness that He hears our cries for help as we are trapped in the teeth of the evil dictator, and He acts to save us from slavery. Acts of judgment were necessary for God to save His children, but judgment was also necessary for justice. We need to be clear here, the acts of judgment were not just so that Pharaoh would let the people go. Pharaoh and the Egyptians needed to be judged for all the evil they had done, and they had done lots of evil. Pharaoh and the Egyptians needed to be judged for all the evil they had done, because that's what justice is, and that's what justice does. Justice is about making everything right. And that's what we long for, don't we? That's what so many protests are about. Our longing for justice. Our desire for evil to be destroyed. Our yearning for all wrongs to be made right. Christ City, judgment and justice are two sides of the same coin. Judgment is doing what must be done to make things just. And that's what's going on here. God is making everything just with great acts of judgment. God has been giving Pharaoh and Egyptians warning after warning, chance after chance to repent. It's not one sign, it's 10 signs. But eventually, justice must be served. Evil must be destroyed. The wrong must be made right. And that is what God does. The Egyptians threw Israelite babies into the Nile. So what does God do? God turns the Nile into blood. The Egyptians strike the Israelites, and so now God strikes Egypt. And just as Pharaoh and Egypt oppress and threaten to kill God's firstborn, now God kills their firstborns. Our God is a God of judgment because our God is a God who we can trust to make everything right. And therefore, we know He will destroy all evil. We know He will make all wrong things right one day. Isn't that important? Someone once said this about the power of fairy tales, and I'll read it for us. Fairy tales do not tell children dragons exist. Children already know that dragons exist. Fairy tales tell children dragons can be killed. Let me read that again. It's very profound. It's very important. Fairy tales do not tell children dragons exist because children already know that dragons exist. No, fairy tales tell children that dragons can be killed. And I know this person is writing about children, but he could be writing about all of us, couldn't he? We don't need to be told that evil exists because every day we are confronted by evil, impacted by evil. We know that evil exists, don't we? We feel it. We are hurt by it. We know that evil exists, but what we want to know, what we long to know, is that evil can be destroyed. And not just can be destroyed, but will be destroyed. We long for justice, don't we? And Christ City, hear the good news. We long for justice, and that's exactly what the gospel promises. The gospel promises us justice, not just that evil can be destroyed, but that evil will be destroyed. The gospel promises us not just that evil can be destroyed, but that evil will be destroyed. And praise God, our gospel is no made-up fairy tale. Our gospel is no made-up fairy tale. Our gospel is true. The gospel is no made-up fairy tale. Our gospel is not just good news, it's true news. And that's what Good Friday is all about. That's what we're singing about today. Good Friday is a celebration that our gospel is true. Good Friday is the celebration that there is a precise, verifiable point in history where Jesus died on the cross, where He destroyed the power of evil once and for all, where He crushed the head of that dragon, that He will be back to finish the job. Christ City, Good Friday reminds us that the gospel is no made-up fairy tale. The gospel is true. Justice will be done and evil will be destroyed. But here's the thing. Be careful what you wish for. God will punish and destroy all evil, but we are all guilty of some degree of sin and evil, aren't we? Maybe not on the level of Pharaoh, but we're not perfect either, are we? We are all guilty of sin and evil. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standard. And so you know what that means? It means we all deserve death. Which brings us to our second point, our need for the Lamb. our need for the lamb. The author of Exodus makes clear that during the Passover, no one was spared from judgment. Look at verse 29 of Exodus 12. It's in page 7 of your booklet, bottom paragraph. Verse 29, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon and all the firstborn of the livestock. The author is making a point here. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne all the way to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon to even all the firstborn of the livestock, every firstborn in the land of Egypt was killed. So why were the Israelites spared? It wasn't because they deserved to be spared. In our Exodus series so far, we've seen time and time again examples of how the Israelites, they weren't perfect, were they? And in fact, just a few chapters later, the Israelites are going to be doing exactly what the Egyptians were doing. They are worshiping a false god. They create a golden calf for themselves and say that that is the God that rescued them from Egypt and worship a false God instead of the living God who actually saved them. The Israelites didn't deserve to be spared. So why were they spared? Not because they deserved it, but because a lamb was killed on their behalf. Verse 21 at the top of page 7 of your booklet. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you." Christ City, why were the Israelites spared from the death that they deserved? Because a lamb was killed on their behalf. Just like the Egyptians, the Israelites deserved death. But unlike the Egyptians, the Israelites were spared because a lamb was sacrificed on their behalf. By the blood of the sacrificed lamb, they were spared. And Christ City, this is good news for us because Good Friday is the day we remember that a lamb was sacrificed on our behalf. Like the Israelites, we all have sinned. We all deserve death. And like the Israelites, we are spared because a lamb was sacrificed on our behalf. Hundreds of years after the Exodus, the prophet Isaiah spoke of someone, of a servant that God promised to send. That someone would be like a lamb led to slaughter, struck for the sins of God's people. Isaiah 53, verse 7. Look at page 3 of your booklet. Page 3 of your booklet. Isaiah 53 and the top verse 7. This servant was oppressed. He would be afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that before its shearers it's silent. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And yet, 100 years more still after that, that lamb appears. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is walking towards John the Baptist. John looks at him and says, what does he say? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Christ City, why are we spared from the death that we deserve? Because a lamb was sacrificed on our behalf. Jesus, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed on our behalf to take away the sin of the world. to destroy evil, to crush the head of that dragon. And Good Friday is a day we celebrate, we commemorate, we sing. That is no made-up fairy tale. It is no made-up fairy tale, Christ City. It is true news. It is good news. News that will set you free and save your life. Good Friday is the day we gather together to praise God for His justice, that He would destroy sin and evil and make things right. But that's not all we sing about. Good Friday is also the day we praise God and sing about His mercy, because we deserve death for our sin. And we praise Him for His mercy that He would send a Passover lamb to take on the consequences of our sin by dying the death that we deserve on our behalf. As Jesus was crucified, beaten and bleeding on that cross, like the blood on the door frames in Exodus, Jesus' blood pouring down that wooden cross was the sign that God's people have been spared from death. Was the sign that it is finished. Our debt has been paid in full. Like we sang just now, that His blood has washed away our sin. Christ City, the Christian gospel is no made-up fairy tale. It is truth that will set you free and transform your life. Our passage gives us three ways to respond to this truth. Firstly, we worship. Look at the end of verse 27 on page 7 of your booklet. The end of page 27, and the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Do you know what this looks like? People of all ages, from different households, coming from all corners of the city or even the cities, saved by the blood of the Lamb, worshipping God for the sacrifice that saved their lives and set them free from slavery. Christ City, I wish you could see what I can see right now. I see people of all ages, from different households, from different corners of the city, united by the blood of the Lamb, singing about our Passover Lamb who died on our behalf to set us free. When we see God in His proper colors, when our eyes have been opened to see the depths of God's love for us, that fountain filled with blood that washes us clean, we bow our heads and worship. It's important to sing, but it's just as important to know why we sing and who we're singing about. And so, if you have not put your faith in Jesus, If you're asking questions about what everyone else is singing about, can I invite you to have a conversation today? Talk to the person next to you, or you can come up to the front after this gathering. We're going to have people at the front wearing lanyards who you can talk to. No commitment, just conversation to talk about this good news. And not just good news, this true news that will change your life and set you free. So first, we worship. Secondly, we serve. Throughout Exodus, God has been clear that He is saving His people for a purpose so that they might serve Him. We see this in verse 31 at the top of page 8 of your booklet. Verse 31, and this is Pharaoh speaking. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Up! Go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go." What is the word he uses? "Serve the Lord as you have said." Christ City, we have been saved for a purpose. We have been saved to serve the Lord. Because we're always serving someone. The Israelites were serving Pharaoh, and God saves them to serve Him instead. And it's the same with us. If we are not serving God, we are serving someone else. Or something else. Christ City, who are you serving? Who has your heart? Who has your allegiance? Who are you trusting in to save you? Let me remind you what Good Friday reminds us, there is only one God who can save us. There is only one God who is worthy of our worship. There is only one God who is worthy of our service. Don't waste Jesus' sacrifice by continuing to worship worthless gods who are powerless to save. During the Passover, there was only one God who can save. There was only one Passover lamb who could redeem them from their sins. We worship, we serve, and thirdly, we are set apart. 13 verse 1, flip over to page 9 and look at the bottom. 13 verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, consecrate, which means set apart. Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man of man and of beast, is mine. To consecrate means to set apart. All the firstborns have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, and so now all the firstborns belong to God in a special way. They are to be set apart for God. It's the same for us today. For all of us who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, we now belong to God. You are not your own. We belong to God in a special way. We are to be set apart for God. We are free to belong to God. And as we end Christ City, let this truth sink in. We are free. You are free. We are free from slavery. We don't belong to Pharaoh anymore. We don't belong to that dragon anymore. The curse of sin has no hold on you. It has no hold on me. Christ City, we are free. They have no hold over us anymore. We belong to Jesus. We have been freed to belong to Jesus. When we leave this hall, to our homes, to our neighborhoods, to our communities, to our schools, to our workplaces, we are a people who are free. We have been set apart by Jesus to live for Jesus, set apart to worship, to serve, to tell others about Jesus, to tell the children about Jesus, to tell our neighbors about Jesus, to tell that stranger on the street about Jesus, about the truth of a God who loved us so much that He died for us to set us free. He saw us in the teeth of Pharaoh and He struck it till it was dead. We tell others about the truth of a God who loved us so much that He died the death that should have been ours to live the life that was only His to live. Christ City, we have been set free, and praise God, that is no made-up fairy tale. One day, we will be singing not just about the Lamb, but with the Lamb. It'd be like this. Only more and only with Him in Christ City, only forever. Let's stand as we respond to God's word.